Let's pray for God's help. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that your word would be to us more precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Lord, please delight us in your truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 8 from verse 28. When he arrived, it's talking about Jesus, but when Jesus arrived at the other side, in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into that herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, this morning is going to be a little bit like a deep tissue sports massage. Okay? Has anyone ever had a sports massage, a deep tissue sports massage? A few of us. Okay, when I was at university, a friend of mine was doing a sports massage course. I tell you, if there's anything more uncomfortable than a sports massage, it's a sports massage from someone who doesn't really know what they're doing. And they needed to practice on me, which was a lot of fun. But a sports massage is a strange thing, because at the same time, it is both deeply uncomfortable and deeply comforting. It's kind of, it feels really good. It's really relaxing in a way, as your muscles get loose. But at the same time, it really, really hurts. Now, the passage we just read, that story, is a little bit like that. It is both deeply uncomfortable and deeply comforting. In many ways, it is a shocking story. It's a dark story. But at the same time, it is such good news. Deeply uncomfortable and deeply comforting. And whether you find it mostly uncomfortable or mostly comforting, it will depend on where you fit in to the story. We find ourselves again by the Sea of Galilee. In these chapters, Jesus is always on the move around this whole region. He crosses the lake on several occasions, and the lake itself plays a starring role in today's event, just like it did last week. The journey had been eventful. You remember from last time there was this furious mega earthquake storm, and when they reach their destination, it doesn't actually get much easier. Jesus leads them straight into a very dark place. Verse 28. When he arrived at the other side, in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Jesus, are you sure you meant to bring us here? Maybe we got blown off track by that storm. You meant to this place? Are you sure you put the right postcode in your sat-nav? It just feels like the wrong place to be. A few years ago, my wife and I went to South Africa. South Africa is a beautiful country, but there are some dangerous areas. And so most of the time while we were there, our hosts went with us wherever we went. On one occasion, we were allowed to walk into town by ourselves. And it was a lovely day, as it always is in South Africa. It was a beautiful scene, sun shining, relaxing walk. And then we reached one particular neighbourhood, and people started looking at us a bit funny. And as we tiptoed through this crowded taxi rank, I took a step closer to my wife to look after her, because I'm a hero. She thought I was overreacting. She was like, "What do you mean? It's fine." When we got back to our host, they said, "Yeah, you really shouldn't have been there." You know what it's like? There are parts of town which just feel, it's just got a bad vibe. Just feels like there's a darkness even in the day, a sense of oppression, and it's just wrong. And as the disciples get off the boat, they quickly realize they're in that kind of area. This is the place they are in. I mean, just think about it. As a Jew, you couldn't be in a more uncomfortable situation. The Gadarenes was a region which was mostly Gentile. Jews and Gentiles don't get on. And so here they are, walking into unclean Gentile territory, near these unclean tombs, surrounded by unclean pigs. It's like taking a vegetarian to a butcher's shop on a date. It's just like the last place that you want to be. And to make matters worse, you've got these violent, demon-possessed men running straight at you, shouting and screaming, verse 29, "What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Jesus deliberately walks this path that most people try to avoid. The people of that region can't go that way because they're too violent. But Jesus deliberately walks the path that people avoid. He walks towards the darkness, towards the uncleanness. It's really interesting. Again, look at verse 29. The demons instantly recognize the authority of Jesus. Instantly. The disciples, they're still trying to process everything that just happened in the boat. Jesus calmed the storm. That's something that only God can do. And so the disciples are left amazed and asking themselves, what kind of man is this? But the demons, they recognize instantly, this is the Son of God. Jesus, this man, is God himself. It's interesting, in Matthew's gospel, the only people to call Jesus the Son of God are demons and the devil, all the way until chapter 14, when finally it begins to sink in for the disciples. But even here, the demons instantly recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. They see the danger. They know exactly who Jesus is, and that's bad news for them. Verse 29, "Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?" The demons know what's coming. They know what's going to happen at the appointed time, and Jesus is about to give us a taster. Now, what happens next is really weird, but really wonderful. It's uncomfortable, but oddly comforting. Jesus has picture this scene, okay? Are you with the disciples on the boat, okay? Or off the boat? He has deliberately brought them into this bad part of town. He's brought his disciples deliberately into the very jaws of evil. And then he deliberately confronts these demons so that he can make a public spectacle out of them. He gives his followers in these verses a dramatic display of his awesome power over evil. What happens here is a sneak preview of what would happen at the cross. And it's a picture of final judgment in a scene which is so vivid and so shocking that it will be burned into their eyes and into their memories forever. Jesus wants all of his followers to see this for themselves, to see and to know and to never forget his undeniable and complete power over all of the forces of evil. That's what's going on here. We see that authority in the way that the demons have to beg. Did you notice verse 30? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." To the Jews, pigs were unclean animals, a fitting home for unclean spirits. But do you see how they have to beg? The devil is real. He does have power. But it's not like two big bosses are having a fight and we're not sure which way it's going to go. It's not like there's a cosmic battle between good and evil and it kind of goes back and forth and either side could win. That's not how it is at all. Jesus is absolutely and completely in control. They are terrified of him. They are begging him to let them go into the pigs. And when Jesus says yes, he's not compromising. It suits him completely. Because of what happens next, verse 32, he said to them, "Go." And when Jesus says go, things get gone. You don't have a choice. He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. That's a shocking dramatic scene. We know from Mark's account of this event that there were about 2,000 pigs. Can you imagine that? 2,000. I don't even know how to like picture 2,000 pigs, but try it for a minute. Picture 2,000 pigs rushing over a clifftop and dying in the sea. It's certainly a picture that you would never forget. A dramatic and shocking scene. They're dead in the water, their pink bodies floating all along the shoreline. A deeply uncomfortable scene, especially for a Jew. Now, some people get upset here and they say, what about those poor pigs? Why would Jesus do something like that? You know, destroy all of those pigs. But I have to say, that's missing the point a little bit. Not to mention that most of us who'd be concerned about the pigs also don't mind having a bacon sandwich. But even for the vegetarians and for the animal lovers, those who have a genuine concern for the welfare of these animals, it's not the point. It's not about the poor pigs. The purpose of this scene is to display in full HD the magnificent power of Jesus over everything that is evil. And he creates quite the scene, but that's the point. This is a public spectacle so that no one is in any doubt. He wants his followers to see with their own wide eyes because there is a lesson to learn. Again, put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples for a moment. You've just crossed the lake in the middle of the biggest storm you've ever seen. In fact, that's only literally just happened. You're feeling sick still from the nausea of being chucked around in the boat. Your clothes are still wet from the spray. All right, this has just happened. You step on shore and you remember that when you were on that lake, you were overwhelmed by the fear of death. That's what they said on the boat. Lord, we're going to drown. We're going to die. Overwhelmed by the fear of death. But Jesus was with you, and so really you had no need to fear. Because you are following the king, you did not die in that lake. They step on shore, and the very next thing they see is something dying in that same lake. Jesus drives the demons into the pigs, and they end up in the lake that they've just crossed. Do you see the difference? The disciples had no reason to fear the lake of death. The demons have every reason to fear the lake of death. He's drawing a contrast. The Jesus who saves his people is the Jesus who destroys his enemies. For Jesus, for the disciples, the presence of Jesus means comfort and safety and reassurance. But for the demons, the presence of Jesus means torture. I think this is a picture of final judgment. I think Jesus is giving us a taster of what he's one day going to do to all evil. Look again at what the demons said. Verse 29. They know that something is coming. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? You see, the demons know there is an appointed time. It's not yet, but it's coming. The demons know that when that appointed time comes, it's going to be torment and torture for them. They know that the Son of God has power over them and he is going to bring punishment on them. And it's true. They're completely right. The Bible talks about it in deeply uncomfortable and shocking language. Revelation 20 verse 10 describes what will one day happen. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. All that is evil will one day suffer the torment of hell. And did you notice how it's described? It's a lake of burning sulfur. And I think what happens here in Galilee is a picture of final judgment. The Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. Here then is a picture that the disciples would never forget. It's burned into their eyes and into their minds. A dramatic display of Jesus' absolute authority over evil powers. In many ways, it's quite similar to the story of Exodus, which we heard not long ago here.
As God's people are saved from Egypt, God's leader takes God's people safely through the sea, and the evil enemy drowns in that very same sea. God's people are saved through the sea, God's enemies are destroyed in the sea, and it's the same thing that happens here. And in Exodus we read that God's people on the shoreline, they look back to see the bodies floating up onto the shoreline. It's a deeply uncomfortable scene. And yet at the same time it's deeply comforting. Because it means that the enemy has been defeated, and so they burst into a song of praise, and it's the same thing here. As those disciples with wide eyes and wide mouths, as they peer over the cliff top and see that scene of destruction, as they see the thousands of pink bodies floating along the shoreline, that is deeply uncomfortable. And yet it is deeply comforting. They know for sure that the Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. The Jesus who saves his people is the Jesus who destroys his enemies. And so for them, because Jesus is with us, we have no need to fear the lake of death. Because Jesus is with us, we have no need to fear the evil enemy, because the Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. In this shocking scene, we have a sneak preview of what Jesus came to do. A sneak preview of what the job that he would finish at the cross. Another time that Jesus deliberately walks the path that most people try to avoid. He set his face and he moved towards the darkness. He moved towards uncleanness. Another violent and shocking scene as this innocent man is whipped to shreds, nailed onto a torture device. And as Jesus hung there, he was suffering the full fiery torment of hell in the place of evil people like me and you. He suffered my hell so that I don't have to. And this time round, Jesus doesn't just meet some men who are coming from the tombs. Jesus himself goes into the tomb, embracing death. And as his cold body lay there, for a time, it looked like the devil had won. For a moment, perhaps the demons were laughing. But then, the time came. The day arrived. The hour was here when Jesus rose to life in glorious victory, smashing the tomb, smashing death, smashing the devil. And do you know how the Bible describes it in Colossians 2? Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. At the cross, the victory is won, the devil is defeated, and all those powers and authorities of evil, what does Jesus do? He makes a public spectacle of them. He humiliates them. This is what he came to do. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, to release those who are captive, to defeat that which is evil, and the two always go hand in hand. On the shores of Galilee, Jesus made a scene to display his glorious power over the devil. On a hill at Calvary, Jesus made a scene to display his glorious power over the devil. A dramatic display of his undeniable and supreme authority, a humiliating defeat for the forces of evil. Brothers and sisters, isn't this good news? Jesus has triumphed. Death is defeated. That's what we sang earlier, wasn't it? Death is defeated. Life has been won for us. Brothers and sisters, doesn't that make your heart sing? Jesus has triumphed. Christ the Lord overcame the darkness. He's alive. Death has been defeated. Jesus has triumphed. You know when you stare into the sun? You shouldn't do that. Don't stare into the sun. It's a bad... But you know when you do, you stare into something really bright and it burns an image into your eyes. I invite you this morning to stare long and hard at the crucified and risen Son of God until that blazing image of his glorious victory burns into your eyes and into your mind so that you know for sure that Jesus has triumphed. That's something we can never remember too often. Something we always need to never fail to forget, if that's the right way around of putting it. This image of a man on a cross is so brutal, so shocking, so uncomfortable, and at the same time it is such good news. Because of the cross, because of the empty grave, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, you have no need to fear the lake of death. The storm of God's wrath has already broken on Jesus' head. And because of the cross, because of the empty grave, we can be sure that the enemy is defeated and one day he will be tormented in the presence of Jesus forever. The Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. Praise God. And yes, that is uncomfortable language. But I want to say it's really comforting news. Jesus' power over evil was definitely good news for those two demon-possessed men. And it's good news for us. You don't have to be demon-possessed to know the evil attack of the devil. I think there's three main ways that we feel his attack. Are you still with me? Three main ways we feel the attack of the devil. The first is temptation. The devil is the father of lies. He is the master of deception. He always makes evil look good. He makes poison look tasty. God doesn't tempt us. So we know that whenever we are tempted to sin, that is the seductive whisper of the enemy. He feels so strong. We often fall. Maybe the devil has got the better of me. Just look at the cross. Have that image burned into your eyes. It's a public spectacle to say Jesus has triumphed. You can say that with me if you want. Jesus has triumphed. You can say it with me if you want. Jesus has triumphed. We feel this attack through temptation. We feel it through opposition. The devil uses individuals, organizations, even governments to fight back against Jesus and his people. We often feel like we're swimming against the tide. We know persecution and opposition individually, as a church, nationally, more and more so, globally, across the world. Followers of Jesus in every tribe, tongue, and nation experience opposition of all kinds. Ranging from personal insults, media mockery, to imprisonment and death. The prince of this world seems to hold so much sway. Can we really cope? Just look at the cross. A public spectacle. Jesus has, you can say it with me if you want, Jesus has triumphed. We feel the attack of the devil through oppression. Sometimes this comes from dark, supernatural, demonic experiences, sometimes through the natural circumstances of life, but we know the enemy is behind it, wearing us down with depression, disasters, death, all kinds of other stuff. There are times, don't we all know it, where we feel under spiritual attack. We are very aware of the powers of evil, but don't be discouraged. Just look at the cross. It's a public spectacle. Jesus has triumphed. The victory has been won. This is a scene so vivid so that we can never forget the truth. The Jesus who saves his people is the Jesus who destroys his enemies. This is good news. Because Jesus is with you. If you're a Christian this morning, let this sink in. Because Jesus is with you, you have no need to fear the lake of death. Because Jesus is with you, you have no need to fear the evil enemy and all of the ways that you feel his attack. Because the Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. It's good news. When we understand this uncomfortable scene, there is an element of comfort to it. But there's still one more shock. Verse 33. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet with Jesus, and when they saw him, they praised him and said, "Please, would you stay with us for as long as you can?" And when they saw him, only like three people were actually reading their Bible there, because only three people laughed. It's not how it goes, is it? Look down at the text yourself so you can see it for yourself. When they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Despite the awesome and undeniable display of Jesus' power over evil, despite the fact that he'd fixed a problem, they couldn't even go on that road because the guys were so violent. It was a real issue for that local neighborhood, and he dealt with it. But despite all of that, the people of that region don't want anything to do with him. Maybe they valued their pigs over people. Maybe they were just happy with the way things were and they could see that Jesus was going to disrupt things. Maybe they weren't willing to count the cost. But for whatever reason, they get on their knees and they plead with Jesus to go away. Isn't that sad? Isn't that shocking? But it's not surprising. The reality is, there's no such thing as a cuddly Jesus. Jesus always divides the crowd. He's always going to make some people uncomfortable, particularly when we talk about things like judgment and torment. There are always some who find the message of Jesus unpalatable. And so we have this contrast between the disciples and the people of this region. Two responses. When the disciples saw a display of his power, they were amazed and they wanted to stay with Jesus. But these people are appalled and they want Jesus to leave. In the light of everything we've talked about today, that's shocking. Because it's not just the devil and the demons who end up in that lake. It's everything that is unclean, all that sets itself up against Jesus. And Revelation makes it very clear that everyone, every person who rejects Jesus will suffer the fiery torment of hell forever and ever. And so it leaves us asking the question, where do I fit in this story? Which set of people are we? How will we respond to this glorious Son of God? Are we going to be with Jesus on the boat or in the lake? If you are following the King this morning, if you are trusting this glorious Son of God who has power over all things, then I hope you have found this uncomfortable story strangely comforting. Because Jesus is with you, you have no need to fear that lake of death. Because Jesus is with you, you have no need to fear the evil enemy, because you know for sure that the Son of God will drive the evil enemy into the lake. We're going to sing a song of victory, a song of praise, a song of worship to celebrate all that we've just talked about. It's a song which speaks of Jesus' death, his tomb, but the fact that his grave had no victory over his resurrection life. So let's celebrate the victory of Jesus as we stand and sing this song together.